Pretty Heavenly Father, we sing this song so many, many times, and we know that all things are possible because of your presence, even as it was at the time when the angel appeared before Mary to announce the conception of the human body of the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing to earth that one so foreknown of the Father and who laid aside his glory to become one of us. We appreciate that, but Lord, we would appreciate even more if the reality of this hour would come upon us to understand more fully and accept it more fully, to live it more fully, for it to be the complete reality of our lives, which is the very message itself, the very presence of God amongst his people, getting them ready to go away, putting his church in order, making a people perfect in his image according to his own word, the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing about a resurrection and change from mortality to immortality, from corruptibility to incorruptibility, to the wedding supper. All these things, Lord, are here before us, even time blending with eternity. All these things here, Lord, we pray that we might realize it. This might be our life, because indeed it should be. This is all we ask, Lord, and we believe we have a right to ask it. Grant it to us in the measure that's been foreordained to us. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're at number 9, I do believe in, does God change his mind about his word? And in this message, of course, as in many others, perhaps all the others, Brother Branham uses it as a vehicle to not only set forth the truth and understanding of his topic, that's the subject of his message, but to bring to our attention the presence of God, the vindicated prophet, the perfectly interpreted word, the events leading to the rapture, and among many other things, the condition of the church as pertaining to the bride and the fundamentalists. Now, that's very true about every single sermon that you're going to run across that Brother Branham preached. Now, he brings this all out, as we have already seen, from the incident wherein one man with a prophetic office and a genuine gift comes against another man, a prophet of God, who was called to lead Israel into the promised land. Now, you must remember that's exactly what took place. We speak, therefore, of Balaam and Moses. Only Moses was ordained to leadership, being fully vindicated by God. Notice, ordained to leadership, fully vindicated by God, and in full obedience to God, whereas Balaam tried to assume leadership based on a solitary prophetic gift as a seer. Now, these two people, Israel and Moab, two prophets, were quite basically the same as to a traditional faith. But only one prophet and one people were demonstrated to be the elect of God, with the pillar of fire amongst them and leading them into the promised land. Now, with all their similarities, they are enemies of each other, and therefore one of them is the enemy of God and his people, as we later see, where Moab fights Israel, and it mentions that Balaam is killed in battle, after having led Israel, of course, into adultery, idolatry, and he had a great influence upon the people of God until God sifted them all out and took those into the promised land, of which we realize only two people over 20 made it, Caleb and Joshua. So, all right, with the last particular thought in mind there, that Brother Branham is using this particular message to bring us up to date, as he's using Moab and Israel, Moses and Balaam. We're going to read then on page 21, and we backtrack a little bit to where Brother Branham is talking in paragraph 102. We did quit down at 104. Now, Lot's group, or Moab, was Lot's daughter's child, illegitimate to start with. Now, notice, as the natural church, Moab represents the natural denomination. Israel represents the spiritual church. Israel, the true church, was the bride of that day, called out of Egypt and vindicated to be the truth. Now you notice in here that at the time of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, due to the horrible influence which culminated in homosexuality, that as Lot left with his two daughters, his wife was destroyed by God because she dared to look back. And Lot's two daughters connived to have children by their father in order to perpetuate his seed and raise up a people. And you'll notice that that's the same thing you see today, the illegitimate acts of the church, which raise up a natural seed by natural membership, and the church has continued to survive by reason of human endeavor, which is a type of manipulation of God, because all life comes from God, and it ends in utter disgrace, because you'll see that this church is wiped out at the end of the hour in which we are living. So it's today there's an illegitimate church, which Moab represents, because it comes down from a natural seed of a natural propagation, even as the Baptists claim, as they said, a million more in 54, and how many they got in 64, God knows. But you can see this as a picture of the church joining, and it's a natural, illegitimate progression, even as Paul mentions in the book of Galatians, that many more are the children of the desolate than she that hath a husband. So, these people are a vast number of people, and they represent the church of this hour. Now, watch in 103, it says here, notice when those two came together, that's Moab and Israel, both of them offered the same sacrifice, both seven altars, both offered up clean sacrifice, the ox, even offered up rams, testifying that there was a coming Messiah. Fundamentally, they were both exactly the same. Israel down here in the valley, Moab up in the hill, Moab with seven altars, Israel seven altars, Moab with seven ox, Israel seven ox. Moab was seven rams, speaking the coming Messiah, Israel seven rams. What was the difference in them? Fundamentally, both were right. So in other words, there's a traditional faith that these people are resting upon, and though the Israelites do not attempt to dismantle or disrespect or deny the fundamental faith, you will notice that they are going on to the reality of the Word of God for their hour, which Moab did not have. Now, Moab didn't have the promise to go into the Promised Land, as Israel did, but they did their dead-level best to see that those who had the promise would not make it. And this is what you're looking at in this particular hour also, that we cannot deny fundamental tenets and fundamental doctrine, fundamental things in the Bible, such as fruit and gifts, salvation, justification, sanctification, baptism. All of these things we cannot refute because they are absolutely basic. But where the church in the world today, the fundamentalists, they are not on the move to the Promised Land, although they believe that they are. They are not, because they do not have amongst them what Israel had and what we have today. Now notice, Brother Branham says, fundamentally both right. But you see, Moab did not have the vindication of God with them. Now Moab didn't understand the first thing about vindication, because they already had a prophet who was able to prophesy. And it looked as though, therefore, then to them, because this man was able to prophesy, and the things that he said came to pass, they looked on him as though he were a great power, and they attributed to him what he did not have. Now, this man did not have actual vindication. All he had was the ability to look into the unknown, into the unseen, and tell what God was going to do about it. And because he was able to do that, they thought absolutely that this man, therefore, was able to come against a man who was vindicated, and the vindication lay in thus saith the Lord, which is entirely different, because one gift follows the word and the other gift goes prior to the word, setting the scene for the coming of the word. I hope you understand what I'm saying, because it's very essential that you do understand this. But see, Moab did not have the vindication of God with them. They were only a nation, a group of celebrities. They had clever men, fine men, understood all the traditions, all those things. But Israel had a prophet with them. They had a smitten rock with them. They had a pillar of fire. They had a brass serpent for healing. They had the blessings of God moving right along with them. And they were the called out children of God. Now, you notice the reason they had this is because they were the called out children. The others were not the called out children. And now to be called out means that you got to come out of something. As it says in Matthew 25, you know, to come on out. And it says in Revelation chapter 18, come on out. And all down the line, it says, come up amongst them, be ye separate, saith the Lord God, and I'll be a father in you, and you'll be my sons and my daughters. And so on. It's always been a calling out. So we want to watch that very carefully. Now, as Brother Branham goes into this particular thought. Now, we find that so perfect, we find that, this here, so perfectly typed here in the churches of today. Now watch, Israel was a sojourner from place to place. I'll talk about that. Let's read on. Wherever that pillar of fire moved, they moved with it. Moab, not so. They were settled down in their own denomination, down in their own nation. They didn't move, they stayed right there. They had their celebrities. They ordained things as they should do, and they had their warriors, they had their fighters, they had their king. They had all that, that they got their orders from, and so on. Now, let's just look at this and take our time, and I doubt if we're going to get very much past this paragraph, which I read last time I was here, but there's so much more in it, and I was trying to hurry along. Okay. Moab and Israel are now typed here, and you'll notice that Israel, the elite, the elected children of God, have come out from the religion that was down in Egypt, which unfortunately followed poor Israel as Egypt gave way to Babylon, same lousy religion. And Moab now, a fundamental group, is not called out. They're there alongside of Israel, but Israel now is moving into the promised land according to the promise of Almighty God. Now, there are two things you'll notice that Brother Branham mentions here. Number one, Israel was a sojourner and Moab was not. Moab was settled down. Now, what is a sojourner? A sojourner is a person who resides as a foreigner in another place. Because he doesn't belong there, he belongs in another place. And you'll notice that this sojourner cannot put his roots down there because his roots don't belong there. Now, Abraham, the scripture tells us, was a sojourner. And Peter tells us to live our lives for God as sojourners. Now, I mentioned then that Israel did not have its roots in Egypt. It did not have its roots on the way to Canaan's land. Its roots were definitely in Canaan's land because God sent Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldees there and said, now every place that you put your foot, this is the place that belongs to you. Now he said, I'm going to send Israel into captivity for 400 years, and I'm going to bring them back to the place where they should be, where they have their roots. Now the point is this, as you will notice in scripture, that our roots and our representation are in heaven. Because we came from God, being a part of God, the same as Jesus Christ did. Jesus was a sojourner. He said, I am not of the world. He said, you people are of the world. So therefore, there were people whose roots were in the world and whose roots were not in Almighty God. Now, you will notice here something very strange. A very few years ago, a man named Alex Haley, a black man, wrote a book called Roots. And it went from around the world. He got millions of bucks for it. It was put in a series on television. And then one day we finally find out that in spite of the fact that this man wrote this wonderful book, he is accused of plagiarism. Evidently, and I didn't read the whole story, and people are racing, well, it served that nigger right, we got him. I don't know if a black man wrote the Book of Roots before Haley did. I don't understand. But what I'm trying to bring to your attention is this. The man who wrote the first book, from which evidently Haley got an understanding, it was not the time for the understanding of Roots to sweep the world. All was in Scripture. There must be something written that gives us the authority to know where we're at. That's why Alex Haley had to write the book that was accepted. You understand what I'm saying now? The same as Paul received the revelation by the pillar of fire, the word by the pillar of fire. It took William Branham in this hour to bring out what Paul could not bring out. You see, Paul was apprehended it in the sense that he was apprehended for that particular word, but he himself was not apprehended. In other words, Paul could not bring out what was relative to the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the appearing, and to the resurrection and those things for which he knew he had a part. So, all right, now, the book Roots is written positively for people in order to look back from whence they came. Now, we're told to look back from the pit from whence we came, and then look unto him to whom we are hewing. In other words, in this hour, we're told to look back one last time in the world and say, that's it. It's finished. I am now going to the place of my roots. On the other hand, notice something. There was a time a short while ago that the Australians, and that was the penal colony for Britain, where all the junk and all the riffraff and God knows what all muck was sent over there. A few years ago, it became very popular for all of those people to look for their roots. And they became very happy if they found that their roots were dirtier and rottener and more miserable than anybody else's roots. Today, not 2% of Australia has any hope in Almighty God. And their literature is so filthy that pornographic poses of little children can be in any child's hand. One of the filthiest places in all the world. See where their roots are. You said, Brother Bell, I don't know it comes that way. Then you begin to study your history. There are two types of Jameses. The Dr. James, the psychologist, they bred lines of familiar, beautiful, wonderful characters. But the Jesse James bred nothing but rot and filth and dirt. Let me tell you something. Everything in this world is a type of the heavenly. Now our roots are in heaven. And we bypass the body commensurate to our roots. We left the theophonic form which we should have had, which our souls would have produced, not out of clay, but the substance from the soul itself. That's why it's called eternal. Or I'll eat my shirt. I know what Brother Brad, why did Brother Branham say the word eternal means without a beginning? Only thing I can do is take what he said and try to put it together and give you a little help on the thing. Now, what is the first thing that you're looking for now that you started your journey wrong? Because your journey started by sex. Well, you've got to get back to what you bypassed. Because you cannot help but long for that. See? Now, there's only one way that you can possibly have that. And that would be to be identified with the word of promise that allows you to have that theophonic form, which is in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. It says, we long to get out of this body, but not to be disembodied, but to get a new body, which is the spiritual, which is in heaven, which is eternal. So you see, here's the thing. To begin to get back to your roots, you're going to have to die. So what's the first thing happens when you die? You go back to your roots. And the roots is where that theophonic form is. Now, they're all up there behind the curtain of time with Brother Branham. And it was very amazing how that when Brother Branham was up there with them, all rejoicing and everything, he said, I want to see Jesus. They said, no way. Well, he couldn't because Jesus had a glorified form. These weren't glorified forms. They couldn't eat. They couldn't drink.
they could handle to the extent they had some time of sensuality in the sense of the sense. So that word sensual is a good word. Just don't put it to sex all the time, for Pete's sake, because it's a legitimate word. And so therefore they had some expressions. But it didn't develop into sexual sensuality. It developed into that which was basic to the soul and was in this theophonic form. Now watch. They said, you cannot go to him. He will come to you and judge you by what you preach. He said, I preach what Paul preached. And they said, we're resting on that. Now notice carefully that Israel was resting on a word, and because they turned that down, is why only two, Joshua and Caleb, ever got in over 20 years of age, the rest failed. Because they were to go in on the grounds of that word which was given, which word would be their identification with the continued blessing and power of God. You'll hear what I said. Now go back to Brother Branham's vision beyond the curtain of time. As he stood there, they said, we're resting on that. Now I want you to go to Brother Branham's vision and particularly to hear it on tape. And he says to the people, don't, and they're like a thinking man, don't miss it. Now just a minute. Now, let's get this flat. If you're not elected to it and your roots aren't from the beginning, I don't care how much you try to don't miss it, you is going to miss it. Then what's he talking about? Don't miss what he said up there. We're resting on that, which was the Pauline doctrine revealed in this hour.
Amen.
Now you see where I'm coming from. We're going to show you again. It's in 2 Thessalonians. A lot of people think they know these things, but it's time they really understood it. In verse 7, the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, you that are troubled, rest with us. When you're going to get relaxed? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's exactly what took place on Sunset Mountain. In flames of fire, taking vengeance on them and so on. But notice, you that are troubled, rest with us when he shall be revealed to him with his mighty angels. Verse 10, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day, which is this day. You understand what I'm saying, therefore? The only rest that you and I can have, and the only place where Brother Branham said is don't miss it, is don't miss the fact that the same pillar of fire that brought the word is here revealing the word. And if you don't understand the Pauline doctrine which is given in this hour through the prophet of God, you don't have a prayer. Now let's face it. So Brother Dale, I'm a fundamentalist. I don't care what you are, what you think you are. It was a fundamental group that stood there and defied Moses and the elect children of Almighty God. There's where your trouble lies, not understanding the truth of Almighty God, and the simplicity goes right over people's heads. Listen, where do you get preaching like you hear this morning outside of this message? There are no churches in the world outside of churches like ours. I'm talking about William Branham's message, but preach that understand this. There is no understanding. And the understanding of this is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, when the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout, which is the message, which is the divine command. And the word command always means the word of God, the same as statutes. And other particular words that are found in the Bible. Psalm 119 gives you about 7 different ones. Now, notice in here that they were sojourners and they were on their way to the millennium. Now, as a sojourner here, previous to this hour, and if you're not standing here waiting for the rapture and immortality, which we trust by the grace of God, we're all looking for it and all shall make it, we will die, which is the step of going back into our roots. Now, I'm going to go over here to the 13th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and I want to read a little bit to you, so you see where we're coming from. And we'll start at verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. All right, now the serving of the tabernacle is a tent. The tabernacle of the wilderness was a tent. And remember, Brother Branham spoke concerning a God behind skin. First, there was a God, of course, behind skins of animals. And then, of course, there was God behind the skin of a human being. And there's God behind the skins of a bride. And there's God behind the skin of a prophet. And you just wait. If we just hit that paragraph, I don't know. Okay. So he's talking here of that which is serving, which is in a temporary capacity. It is not the temple. It is the tabernacle. The temple is different from the tabernacle. Now, notice this tabernacle in the wilderness had to come to the place where it came into Canaan's land and was converted into the great temple. And so we see we're building now, as it were, moving into what we're going to call a spiritual civilization, a spiritual cosmos, that which God wanted. And this is what God wanted. We are to leave the tabernacle, and we're going now into a temple. And remember, Jesus, that was used of him as being the temple of God. He was the temple of God. He was also tabernacle. We are also temple. We are also tabernacle. There's going to come a time when there's no more tabernacle. It's absolutely temple, because the Bible says in the New Jerusalem, there is no temple. No temple, no tabernacle. It's because the whole thing's a temple. You don't have temple worship. You've arrived. Okay. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought in the sanctuary by the high priest are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Now the word camp means a juxtaposition. And a juxtaposition is battle array. So therefore it says here, let us go out in battle array. In other words, there is a complete battle in our lives, as there was with Israel, and the battle will be against unbelief and the seducers with their unbelief attempting to seduce us, and they will be the ones that are the most fundamental, even as you see here. And remember, Satan was not off the word, except in the sense that he perverted. He didn't deny the fact of God and deny the fact of the word. He just disputed it. And that's where fundamentalism came from. Reasoning and dispute. Now, it says here, you are in a battle array. But there's coming a day now when there will not be a battle array. See? And that is the hour that we're in right now, when it says, you that are troubled, rest with us. That's why Brother Branham preached on, who is this Melchizedek, king of righteousness and king of Salem? And he said, when will there be peace? When the Prince of Peace comes. Now the Prince of Peace, God himself, is already here, and the kingdom of God is being established on earth by the processes that God has ordained, which, as you see here, is a coming out. Now in the meantime, we're taking our steps into the millennium. Now, it says, for we have no continuing city. Now there you are. We have no continuing city, but we seek the one which is to come. We seek the coming one. Now, the continuing city positively tells us that it is something that is not permanent. A tabernacle is not permanent. A sojourner is not permanent. It signifies that you are looking to go where your roots are. To where you can put down your roots. Where you're completely stabilized. Now, as we're moving into the millennium, we're moving in because there's nothing permanent here. And even the millennium itself is not permanent. It's a place of further sanctification. Now, what I've told you just previous to this statement should be valuable to you to make you understand concerning the millennium. That's why nothing much is said about it till Brother Branham came and broke it in one sentence. And the one sentence, the millennium, is a place of further sanctification. Now read into it what you want. I'm not here to tell you what to read or how to read. But you better know this one thing. It is a further step into your progression back to your roots. Because remember, the New Jerusalem is a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build, except the Lord watchman watch the city. The Lord watch the city, the watchman watch it, but in vain. And so you can see here that we are sojourners. There's nothing in here that to enamor us. The human bodies we have came in the wrong way. Even the great myth of sex is absolutely transient on the grounds when you go to the millennium and you wake up in a glorified body. You're not like those stupid Mormons and the stupid Islams who think they're going to have all kinds of wives and have a sexual orgy day and night. What if the women didn't like it? You talk about stupid. Yeah. What he found out of the Mormons recently? Their own historians are being kicked out now because they found out Joe Smith and the whole gang are fallacious. They're a bunch of liars. If you want to know the truth, you bring it to this message, brother, sister. You can see if there's a filter or not in the land. And whether you're being fed vomit from a source. Now, these people, as I mentioned, are sojourners. We are stepping right now toward the millennium. And the millennium can only come as it started back in the days of Luther. As Brother Branham said, this should have been the Lutheran religion today, but he said they wouldn't go on. You see, they wouldn't go on, and they now are like Moab. They are settled. Okay. No pillar of fire. Nothing but denomination. Settle down in their own nation. Stay right where they were. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 48. And let's read verse 10 before we... not verse 10. Verse 11. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and he hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel. Neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remaineth in him, and his sense is not changed. He's got the appetite of a dog, and he smells like a dog. He's got the wall of the sow, and he smells like it. Because that's what the Bible teaches. The dog returned to his vomit, and every table is full of vomit. He's a complete dog. Now, what is his trouble? His trouble is he's settled down. Now, what does it mean poured from lees to lees? It's when you take grapes and you're going to turn into wine. And by the way, you shouldn't have to add sugar. Strange thing, but it's true. Here, the grapes are too sour. You got to do something about it. But a real wine grape, you don't need to add sugar. You simply put it in the keg, having completely crushed it, and you let it ferment. There's a bung at the top, the bung hole. The fermentation bubbles. You don't keep pouring some junk out, you keep pouring it in. But normally, it was made in smaller containers. So, what did they do to purify it? Because they didn't have the methods of distilling and using hoses, siphons, and charcoal like they have today. So, they simply would pour the top off into another vessel. And then they let that sit there to see if there's more would rise to the top, the pure liquid. Then they would take the first batch, as pure it looked now, and pour it into another vessel. That in time, there would not be any dregs left at all. I see what we're driving at. The Lutherans have never changed, the Methodists have never changed, and nobody changed except God's elect has a fresh word all the time, and God is constantly moving his people and constantly keeping him in a state of ferment, as it were, and maybe like turmoil and trouble, in order that they don't get settled down and love the world and the things of the world. He keeps them stirred up as an eagle stirs its nest. But these people did not want that, so therefore God could not deal with them, and now they're nothing but the dregs of humanity. See, there's no true wine of God amongst them. There's nothing there left. Now, let me start reading from the book of Jeremiah, and we're going to start to look about this thing here called Moab. Now, here is Jeremiah lifting up his voice, and Brother Branham is saying the Moabite people are a perfect type of the fundamental people today. They have their prophets, which are Pentecostal. They have genuine gifts among them. They have fruit. They have fundamentalism to a T, but they did not have the vindicated prophet. They did not have the pillar of fire. They turned it all down. They denied the Lord, and they do not therefore have the word. And remember, it takes that word that differentiates that's going to put them in the land. Now, I don't care what anybody says. The Bible fools everybody, right to the smartest. They can say, well, don't tell me, Lee Dale, bless God, I got to have a word that's going to get me in there and mean something. Well, I'm going to tell you, bless God, that's what I'm preaching. If you don't like it, go someplace else. You say, well, maybe you're in error. Well, maybe I am in error. Maybe God can't talk and I can't read. Maybe God's so stupid and dumb he can't have somebody interpret or translate the scriptures. I got news for you. The Catholics did their best with the old original Douay. What was the Douay? I think I might know the one before that. The Diaglot. They did their very best to change the Bible. But the Bible is too cunning for them. They couldn't change every verse where the same thing was found in a different way. I don't care how you slice it, brother, sister. You have said before, and I'll say it again. The Bible's just like a pie. You cut it for justification, you'll find sanctification, you'll find baptism, you'll find everything in it. You cut it for sanctification, you'll have to go back to justification everywhere you cut it. I don't care where you go. The Bible is just like your body. You stick it with a pin and a bleed. And it's the same blood. And the life, the same life in the same blood. You can't fool with the word of God. There's no way. All right, let's keep reading here. Against Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, woe unto Nebo, for its spoil. Carathim is confounded and taken. Misgab is confounded and dismayed. There should be no more praise in Moab. In Heshbon there should be devised evil against it. Come and let us cut it off from being a nation. Also thou should be cut down, O madmen. Brother Brand said, the whole world's crazy. You think Saddam Hussein was a very smart man? Very, and please don't think Bush is somebody extra either. He might pass a SAT test and have a high IQ, but that's where it ends. You don't think so? Let me read you something about the mentality of the Americans. Reader's Digest, of course, is the biggest can of crud in the world. They still don't know UNESCO is a tool of the communists. And people kill still like poor Gorbachev can't separate socialism and understand you can't legislate morals. Now listen, here's what this fella says. This is reported by Scripps Howard News Service by a Paul Craig Roberts. If you want to get rich in a big way, you need to please large numbers of people in a big way. Consumers reward those who serve them. Karl Marx might not have believed it, but not a single billionaire is getting rich by exploiting his or her labor force. Everybody, yeah. That's the biggest lie you ever heard in your life. The billionaire is controlling government by lobby. He doesn't need to exploit the workforce. He exploits everybody. Karl Marx is no different than even Stalin from the rest of them. I don't find one scripture that tells me that they're any different in the book of James from the capitalist who's withheld the hire of the laborer. And they don't have to do it by knocking out the unions. They just simply go to the government and put the money under the table, and the lobby controls us all and we'll pay through our noses. And don't think we're not doing it. That's so much for America. Madmen. And the people read junk like this and think the Reader's Digest is some great book. The other day, I just thought of something. I took a good look at Ted Kennedy's face, and I said, you paint horns on him, he's a perfect... You couldn't do better. He got saved, different story, who knows? But you can tell exactly where the man is. Look, and let me tell you something. Don't you try to go down to Egypt and convert Pharaoh. Now, a voice should be crying from Horonon. Spoiling and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused a cry to be heard. For in the going up of Luhith continued weeping shall go up. For in the going down of Horonaim, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your lives, and be like the heath in the wilderness. For because thou hast trusted in thy works and in thy treasures. That's definitely third chapter of Revelation, starting at verse 14. And Chemosh shall go forth into captivity with his priests and his princes. That's the gods of the world back there. The spoilers shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape, and the valley shall also perish, and the plain be destroyed, as the Lord has spoken. Well, that's it. Give wings unto Moab, that it may flee and get away, for the cities thereof shall be desolate, without any to dwell therein. In other words, it would take wings to do it, and they're not going to do it. Cursed be he that doeth the works of the Lord deceitfully. My sister looked at Brother Branham's handwriting. She was an expert. She said, this man, I thought she'd know it was Brother Bill's writing. I thought she knew it. She didn't know it. She said, my, she said, is this fellow different? She said, he can get within himself in a way you can't even find him. That was a transcendent vision. She said, and no, she says, nobody like him. There's absolutely no deceit in his handwriting. I'd like to have yours analyzed by my sister this morning. You all want to get a sample? And I'll say, Barbara, look for deceit. Every one of us have deceit in our handwriting. Don't pat yourself on the back, you're going to break your elbow. Yeah. Don't kid yourself. This man had none. That's a false. And not handling the word deceitfully. Here it is right here. And cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Now, Brother Bill, preach this message so sweet nobody gets hurt. Well, I'm hurting myself. What do you think? Moab hath been at ease. Now watch. Moab hath been at ease from his youth, and hath settled on his lees, and hath not been emptied from vessel to vessel, neither hath he gone into captivity. Therefore his taste remaineth in him, and his scent is not changed. He's vomited like a dog and smells like a dog. You ever smelled a dog in wet weather? Stinkingest thing under high heaven. Therefore, behold, the days comes that the Lord, I'll send him wanderers that shall cause him to wander and shall empty his vessels and break their bottles. What he didn't do is going to be forced to do. Moab shall be ashamed of Chemosh, as the house of Israel is ashamed of Bethel and their confidence. Bethel is where they put up an idol and the tribe of Dan. And so it tells here, idolatry is going to be made manifest. How say ye we are mighty and strong men of war? They say, why, we're increasing goods and don't lack a thing. Moab is spoiled, gone up out of her cities. His chosen young men are gone down to slaughter, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. See, this is their boasting, but it's not what they say. The calamity of Moab is near to come, and his affliction hasteth fast. All ye that are about him bemoan him, and all ye that know his name say, how is the strong staff broken, and the beautiful rod? Now, you know something? At the time of his appearing, the rod and staff are not broken, and the burning flax is not quenched. But when he's gone and the bride is with him, the whole thing comes out. And you bet he doesn't just break, he destroys it. Thou daughter that dost inhabit Dibon, come down from thy glory and sit in thirst, for the spoiler of Moab shall come upon thee, and he shall destroy thy strongholds. Now, what's he talking about? The controversy of God against the fundamental church that uses his name and are in idolatry. Have turned down the prophet, the presence of God himself, and the demonstrated reliability of the message that has been brought at this hour, which is the revelation of the word that was brought by the pillar of fire to the apostle Paul. O inhabitants of error, stand by the way and espy. Ask him that fleeth and her that escape and say, what is done? See, in other words, with all these things going on, Brother Branham said, hey, they're going to say at the end time, hey, wasn't such and such supposed to happen? What's going on here? He said, it's already happened. Elijah's already come and you didn't know it. The whole thing now is up for judgment. Moab's confounded, broken down, howl and cry. Tell it in Arna that Moab is spoiled. This is like, now you're reading like the 17th and 18th chapter of Revelation. The judgment has come upon the plain country, upon Hol, upon Jahaza, and upon Mepha, and upon Dibon, and upon Nebo, and upon Beth-Dilathine, and upon Kerathime, and upon Beth-Gammon, and so on, right down the line. The horn, notice in 25, the horn of Moab is cut off, and his arm is broken, saith the Lord. make ye him drunken, for he magnified himself against the Lord. Moab also shall wallow in his vomit, and he shall also be in derision. Why, you're talking about the Antichrist and his whole system of the church going down here. Why? Because Brother Branham said Moab is a picture of the fundamental churches of this hour which embrace Catholicism. For all the harlot daughters go back to the whore herself. And right now the Catholics are getting angry at the Pentecostals. And they're letting the priest was letting them know now, don't you dare call us the whore. Well, I admit it's not a very nice name, but what else do you call her? You know, after all, you know, after a Volkswagen's a Volkswagen. Most dangerous car on the road. You hit it with a bicycle, it'll all fall to pieces. Shouldn't even be allowed in the road. See? But somebody's making money. Yeah. You see what I read here about the Reader's Digest? Forget it. They wouldn't know split beans and buttermilk. Verse 27, for was not Israel a derision among thee? See? Was not the bride a derision? Was he found amongst thieves? Sure, they steal everything from you, like the devil did. For since thou spakest of him, thou skippest for joy. O ye that dwell in Moab, leave the cities, and dwell in the rock, and be like the doves that make her nest in the sides of the hole's mouth. There you are, the dove leading the lamb, and so on. We have heard the pride of Moab. He's exceedingly proud, his loftiness, his arrogancy, his pride, and haughtiness his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, but it shall not be so. His lies shall not so affect it. That tells you the lying Antichrist at the end time, 2 Thessalonians 2nd chapter. Therefore will I howl for Moab and cry for all Moab. My heart shall mourn for the men of Kirharis. O vine of Shibma, I will weep for thee with the weeping of Jazer. Thy plants are gone over the sea, and they reach even to the sea of Jazer. The spoiler is fallen, and thy summer fruit and thy vintage. Now, you know there was a vine that came over to America. The whole world system. And joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab. And I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. That's Revelation 18 again. Their shouting shall be no shouting. Hollow noise. There's nothing in there. It's all gone. When the pillar of fire leaves, it's all gone. See? Now that's one thing they made a lucky guess at. When he which hinders be taken out of the way. They said that's the Holy Spirit. Oh, they're right there. But only Brother Branham gave us the truth when that spirit that's in the midst of us, not the baptism. That's just a tiny part. But the baptizer himself, the spirit in the midst of us, is God leaves, becomes incarnate to us. We're crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Verse 34, from the cry of Heshbon, even unto Eliah, and even unto Jahaz, have they uttered their voice from Zor even unto Horonim, and a heifer of 3 years old, for the waters of Nimran shall be desolate. Now, there again you find the heifer refers in the sacrifice to the bride. You got the bride in there, you got the whole thing in here. Moab will cause to cease in Moab, saith the Lord, him that offers in the high places. He that burneth incense to his God. Therefore mine heart shall sound for Moab like pipes, and my heart shall sound like pipes for the men of Kirharis, because the riches that he hath gotten are perished. And you notice that's what John, all you see here, and you can read this for yourself. You can see absolutely this is the picture that Brother Branham is drawing, and it's all laid out by John in the book of Revelation. So we find Brother Branham 100% correct on his delineation here, and we understand that these people are going to go where their roots are. Now, where are their roots? In the bottomless pit. Because there's no foundation. And we showed you the last time, out of the bottomless pit comes all these terrible things. In other words, it isn't God himself doing something as though God is doing something in retaliation. It's the fact that they didn't listen to God as to what would happen when they went on their own and began messing with the things of God. Now, you see what happens when you mess with this word? You don't listen to the way Brother Branham brought it? Hey, you're just going to go from bad to worse. I've seen it. And like Brother Brooks mentioned today in the little dedication service, how that some people are doing with their children, and they're doing with their wives, and the preachers are doing with the people. I'm going to tell you something. You leave this word, you can't help it. Because the one word off is Satan's kingdom. Two words off is double. Three words off is triple. And I believe by the very fact, when you get becomes to the third root, which is 3 times 3 times 3 is 9. 27, rather. So you get 2, God takes you all the way to 16 to the 4th. 4 words off, 16 times worse. So where are the churches today? God leaves them flat. He already kicked him out. And he is the Word. Now, the point is, Brother Branham talking about, does God change his mind about his Word? He tells you right here what's going on, where the people think that God does change his mind about his Word, and they can manipulate God. Like I told you years ago, how dear, sweet old boy back there in Bear Mountain. I forget his name now, nice, fat old guy and very old, sweet. And he said, you know, Brother Vail, I have a faith in Brother Branham, but I had visions too. And I said, oh, God. If I were to match mine with his and my ministry to his, he'd look like a sick chicken. I ain't got nothing. I'm not a prophet. The Word never came to leave Vail. Never has, never will, ain't never going to. But I would have the privilege of teaching what the prophet said is more than enough, because even that details a whole lot of responsibility that I am not too anxious to have. Now, it says here they're celebrities. They had their celebrities. Let's begin to look at the celebrities, shall we? You dare me to look at them? Let's find out about their celebrities. Okay, the first chapter of Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, them who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That is over in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verses 7 to 10. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. It's manifested amongst them because God showed it through the prophet William Branham, as he did through the apostle Paul, right back in Moses and all the men of God. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead without excuse. So therefore, if God out there can be manifested by the facts of nature, how much more can God be manifested by healing and miracles and raising the dead and the great prophetic utterances of Brother Branham that came right to pass? It's manifest, showed to them, just as all in nature, right before their eyes it took place. So they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Now what's he talking about? These are fundamental churches. But became vain in their reasonings. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing doubt become wise, they became fools. They were sophists. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God, an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts. They've gone to humanism. Wherefore God gives them over to uncleanness. This is their celebrities. Through the lust of their own hearts, dishonor their own bodies. Changed the truth of God to a lie. How many priests today God eats? How many Protestants got AIDS? Where are all your movie stars? They're all getting AIDS. What about your basketball players? Now, what about your football players? Talk to Brian Kasurik. Be my guest. He was with Minneapolis. What are they, the Twins or something, the Vikings? He was a kicker. And one of the great Christians, a real fundamental Christian, was one of the biggest fornicators and adulterers, a whole bunch of them. So the girls in the lobby would phone the guys in the rooms and they'd say, well, we'll come down and look you over and see if we want you. Yeah, whoredoms. AIDS. Now you tell me the book of Jeremiah is not right, God's word's not right. Celebrities. Rock Hudson. Wasn't Fosse one? What about the guy that makes these nice shirts? What's his name now? Not Bean, but the other guy. Ellis? Yeah. The great designers, the great artists, the great guys, the great celebrities are all whoremongers. Or homosexual. Or bisexual. Or just rotten crud. Which is the whole picture. I don't get any pleasure out of it. I'm just telling you what's here. Celebrities. Where did it all start? It started when God came on the scene. Back there, he had his Moses and had the Moabites. Had men with actual ministries. They turned it down flat. God gave more to Baal affections. Even women did change their natural use, and that was against nature. Did you read in the paper the other day that, what is it? Was it Mattel or what was it? The Barbie doll. In there, a woman opened a little kid was opening a gift of a Barbie doll. And here were two homosexual women engaged in an act. And the girl said, Mommy, what are these two naked women doing here? Naked lady, she called them. Better open your kids' toys. Not take a chance. Over in Sweden, it's legitimate for father to have intercourse with his daughter. Oh, see, I don't like hearing those things. I don't like preaching them. But if I don't preach them, you'll sit around here and just pick your noses. Oh, well, oh, well. Well, it ain't oh, well. It's a judgment of God in the land. And you better get your kids in order. Because you're responsible. My time wasn't like your time. Our kids didn't go for drugs and things. If a homosexual came by, I warned my boys. But the point is, I warned them in this way. They're ready to beat them up and entice them. Just knock their head off. I said, leave them alone. It's bad enough the way they are. Keep your hands off. Today, the homosexual wants the highest place in the land. Got nothing but filth to celebrities. Yeah. Likewise, the men leaving the natural use of women, burning lust toward one toward another. And now the church wants them all in there, and they're going to pass the judgment saying it's okay, it's okay. While it ain't okay. These are the scriptures whom it said they're natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And they destroyed themselves and blame it unto God. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gives them over to reprobate minds to do the things that are not convenient, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignant whispers. That's the fundamental church. He's not talking about the mafia and some bunch out there. He's not even talking about the Muslims. Anybody looking to a resurrection like those idiots are, we look back on a resurrection well documented and proven. They just hope he's going to come back and ride a white horse. Well, I got news, he ain't coming back and riding any white horse. Not because I say so, but the Bible tells you that without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that's exactly your judges. What about Dukakis? Let out Willie Horton. That's not half as bad as what Kuma left out. And I'm not hitting the Democrats. Republicans, it's the same thing with another name. You can call a horse a pony. Still a horse or a pony. Nothing near it. Democrats, Republicans, no different. It just means one group wants to get in office and milk the people before the other guy does. All right, here we go. But Moab saw Israel was something they didn't have. They saw the mighty power of God amongst Israel, and it was a prophet. And that prophet was Moses. And they knew that when the battle went wrong, they had just raised up his hands and held them there, and the battle changed. So they didn't have such as that. So they tried to match it with politics and political pull. They sent over another country, hired a prophet from over, so they could have a prophet and would have power against them, just like Israel had amongst them. Now notice the statement Brother Branham makes here. Curls your hair. Do you think anybody outside of a few guys like us are going to believe what he said? They saw a mighty power amongst Israel, and it was a prophet, and that prophet was Moses. Oh, say, that's blasphemy. Christ is the power of God. Is that a fact? How come he was? When he became a man. He didn't know anything about it before. Then how do you know God made all things by Christ Jesus? He knew nothing about it. Israel knew nothing about it. Nobody knew about it. It's a mystery veiled in there. He came amongst them, and that was the power of God. And Moses said, there's going to be a Messiah raised up, a prophet just like me. And that one was the same as Moses, but greater, because Moses only had a part of the word. This one was the word. And Moses was that prophet. Now watch what Brother Branham says about Moses being that power. They knew that when the battle went wrong, they just raised up his hands and held them there, and the battle changed. In other words, they became an adjunct to the ministry of the prophet by believing him and relying upon him and giving their efforts to him, and the battle changed. So, oh, bless God, we don't need no prophet to have that. We can do it on our own. Well, go ahead, be my guest. I need a prophet. And I need him worse than I realized. Or he ever realized that I needed him. There's the power of God manifest. As Brother Branham said, it's given to the last day that God be manifest in human flesh again. And of course that's in the bride, but distinctly to the prophet, because he said if the hand does what the body does. That prophet was Moses, and they knew that when the battle went wrong, they knew they could bring their problems. They knew by being his friend, he'd be their friend. They knew it could change the course of lives. So they didn't. Moab didn't have such as that. So they tried to match it with politics and a political pull. And when they did, they had to rely upon gifts.
Right.
Men with gifts. Not prophets. Because there are prophets and prophets. If you don't think that's true, let's go over here to the book of 1 Corinthians. 14th chapter. If I got it right. And it says here, verse 36, what came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. In other words, there's a man that supersedes the fivefold ministry of Ephesians chapter 4. And that man, of course, has got to be a vindicated prophet, a word prophet of Almighty God. So what did they do? This people did not have a vindicated prophet. They did not have the pillar of fire. They never had God in their midst because they put him out. So what do? They get people with gifts. Now, that takes you over here to Matthew 24, and we answer the question. Ask the question and answer it. Does God ever change his mind about his word? Ho, ho. Let's find out. In chapter 24, they asked him, when shall these things be? When is your presence going to be there? What about your presence? And he said, take heed that no man deceive you at that hour when I'm present. Many will come in my name saying, I am the present one. I am the deliverer. You say, not just a minute. That speaks of Jesus as a man. Hogwash. It's speaking of Christ, the anointing. The one in our midst, God. The form of the Holy Spirit and the pillar of fire. The one that's our authority dealing with the prophet. Brother Branham said that power was Moses. They're going to say, we've got it. He said, you watch out for those birds, or they'll finish you off. Then verse 23, they'll say, lo, here is Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. Now watch, for there shall arise false Christs, even lying prophets. So the whole thing is connected to prophets. The presence of God is connected to prophets. Now you can't have a prophet the stature of Moses to bring the word. You can't have one like Paul to bring the word. You've got to have one who understands the word in order to discern and to keep you straight. So Brother Branham said, just think how wonderful. The same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul is here revealing it. And he said to me, in the tape that was let out, should have been let out. See, he said, we haven't had a prophet like Moses for 2,000 years since the time of Paul until now. The pillar of fire returned. You find it right on tape. See? So what they did, they got themselves politically a bunch of men. And when you turn down God, knowing it is God, the next thing is politics. Now what happens when people get together? Let's say we in this message begin to get together like they want us to get together. And Brother Branham never would, so I ain't going either anymore. Forget it. So they say, now what we're going to do is come together as brethren. Now this fellow over here doesn't believe the presence as I believe it. He finally believes it, but I'm still a devil. Since 1977, I've been a devil until 2 years ago. Now I'm a different kind of a devil. I'm still the devil, but I'm a different kind of a devil because now they believe the presence. But where's the judge in the whole thing? Where's the rest of it? Where's the church order? I don't know, and I care less. That's a business. Now they want us to all get together. So I get together, and I say, these guys, now it's okay. You believe this, I believe that. You believe this, I believe that. That's very fine. We'll all have fellowship, love each other. And pretty soon they'll say, well, now can't you give a little bit? And I'll give a little bit. You know, and they tried to pull that on Peter. The Simon the sorcerer came by and said, I've got to give you a little bit of money. He said, if you'll just let your berry down. Well, he said, he said, your money perish with you. And you know that Dr. Phillips is one of the greatest translators the world ever saw from the Greek. And he said that word in the Greek means to perdition with you and your money. And you know what perdition means? Starts with H. It's a four-letter word. They want you to let the barriers down. Brother Branham said they sing the song, how did the goats get in? He said, you took the barrier, you took the barge down. So you see what they're doing here? It becomes political. Politics is where people get together to iron out and cause to function smoothly social affairs. And it's got a big name in the world. It's called political science. And there are more people going into political science than any other science because it's the stupidest. If you had pure science, where 2 and 2 make 4, and H2O is hydrogen and oxygen, I can understand it. When you try to get an amalgam of human souls and natures and try to make it work, you are nuttier than this thing the Reader's Digest wrote. Capitalism has not only enslaved the labor forces, it's enslaved everybody. And it's even enslaved those that are making slaves. Because the minute you make a slave, you have become a greater slave. You know where freedom is and greatness is? He that is servant of all is greatest of all. Just think it over. Do you see the carnal comparison? See, if they wanted the power. Balaamites wanted the power. Balak wanted. Do you see the carnal comparison? Can you see the carnal church today? It's done the very same thing. Certainly it has. It's legislated. It's bypassed 1 Thessalonians 4:16. It's bypassed 2 Thessalonians 1:7-10. It bypassed the third chapter of the book of Revelation, denying it entirely and saying, oh, that's for somebody else. See? Not knowing that Christ is on the outside. Larkin was right at that particular time. Paragraph 107, notice, now they're both going to have prophets. The only difference was Moses, the prophet of God, his king was God. That's where he got his orders, the word of the Lord. And Balaam also had a king, and that king was Balak. And the king of Moab, and that's where he got his orders and his blessings. See? So the king said, come on down and curse me this people. For they cover the whole face of the earth. They just come and lick up everything like an ox licks up the grass. You know, that actually could go right down there into the very end time when the saints of God come back and the people all screaming for some kind of help. Well, actually, the truth is, after the white throne judgment, the devil and his gang get together and try to destroy God and his people. See, what you see here, get rid of these people because they're taking over, comes back at the white throne. Now, you tell me the spirit of man ever changes and things of men ever change? You'd have to be insane to believe otherwise this morning. Nothing ever changes. See, like Brother Brown said, God takes his man, but not the spirit. What about the devil? He takes his, keep that old spirit down here. See, they just simply cannot reconcile error with truth. Because they believe their error is the truth, because they're fundamentalists. I remember years ago when I was up in Canada, and we had a poor little Pentecost to work, because I was shouting Holy Roller Pentecost. You climb a wall and anything else that worked, as long as you thought it worked. Shout the glory down, in, out, upside down. The Nazarenes hated our guts. But they knew we preached a good salvation message. So as soon as anybody got saved in our church, the Nazarene church would run down and grab them and take them to their church because they knew how to bring them up. The truth. Same lousy spirit the Baptists have, the Catholics have. Get them, get them, get them. I don't care where you get them. Bring them to us, they'll be all right. I'm going to tell you one thing. Coming to this church doesn't make it all right. It's only if you're 100% with this word that this one reveals. You can't come here and say Lee Dale said this and said that, because that's all on tape. I may make some boo-boos, but I'll correct them for you right now. I could have a slip of the tongue like anybody else. He said, come on down, curse me, these people. They try to do it at the white throne. Come on down, for understand that you can curse, you can bless. Whatever you do is recognized. The man had a little ministry. I guess we're still okay here. The man's little ministry didn't amount to anything alongside of Moses, because Moses was vindicated by God. But you see, what is it? The people will recognize what comes out of the original. And as they do, they will take it for the original. And it won't work. Because you see, these people here knew way back from Abraham's time, the mighty man that Abraham was. They understood thoroughly how that God appeared to Abraham as Sodom and Gomorrah fell. They knew that there was the one true God. They understood these things, but they were wrong in their understanding beyond what was basic and traditional. And when the light came, they would not move with the light. They were settled down, and God could not move them. God could not pour them. They were not flexible, and they died in their inflexibility. Now, brother, sister, the renewing of the mind needs a flexible mind, or it can never be changed. 108. Now we want you to notice this man was a prophet ordained to God, but he sold his birthright for a political reason, just as the church did today, like Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, the whole group, sold out for the polls in their organization. In other words, their organization can't look at. You've got a great ministry. Let us use you to further the cause which we represent to Jesus Christ, because we are the anointed of God. I remember I told you many times when I was a kid back in Pentecost, it was George R. Upton that said, listen, our fathers came up out of Methodist, Baptist, and various churches because there was light. And he said the reason they came up because there was new light. He said, never let us come to the place where we fail to recognize new light. And when Brother Branham came on the scene, they died. And I'm the only man that's raised his voice in this hour as a minister, as far as I know, that heard him in Canada. When Brother Branham was there, whatever spoke to me, inner consciousness said, if there's a man you listen to, that's the one you listen to. My own words would condemn me, right in my own mouth, as I heard myself say in Florida, behold, I send my prophet out of the north, and he shall teach the people the things they ought to know. And he came and he taught them. And he came absolutely under the anointing and the power of God, like Paul and Moses of old. So Brother Branham could say, Moses, Paul, William Branham. Say, oh, that's blasphemy. Well, have it your way. I'm going to have it my way, and that's the way I just put it. It's on tape. And nobody take it off, because if you do, you're a sinner. Brother Branham was the power of God in this hour. The prophet with us. And as we adhere to him, as it were, hold up his arms toward heaven in the great battle of faith, you watch the power of God come down and turn every enemy to defeat. Moabites are not a match for the people of Almighty God. Now, sir, they had a great pull in their organization. Come on down, I'll make you a great man. Moses under God, Balaam under Balak. Yet both prophets were men of God, and both spiritual. Notice the difference. Each had a head. Moses was God, and Balaam was Balak. And so what are you looking at here? You're looking at the kingdom of God upon earth. You're looking at men that are anointed of God, but not called of God in the true election of Almighty God. And this is where I believe the Bible teaches that God shall send them strong delusion that they believe the lie. Because they go strictly to the miracles, the signs, and the wonders, and they bypass the word which was given by absolute vindication. Balaam couldn't take it. Balak couldn't take it. And so today, notice here how the spiritual is applied to prove that the natural is wrong. Moses, sent of God in line of duty, is met and challenged by another prophet of God. Can you imagine that? Moses, called of God, ordained of God, standing in the duty of God, moved up into this cold, formal group, actually the lukewarm, and was challenged by another prophet of God, what God had blessed and ordained. How would you tell the difference? They both had prophets. God spoke to both prophets. Some of them say, God said do this, God said do that. Now, I don't question that. But it's out of line with God's word. No matter if he is a prophet, he's out of line. So many people get deceived like that. Oh, this brother can do this. Another brother can do that. And deny the word? Though I speak with tongue of men and angels, have no gifts that could move mountains, give all my goods to feed the poor, I'm nothing. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name? Have I not cast out devils in your name? Done the mighty works? And he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. I didn't even know you. Yet they come with the confession that they did it. Jesus said they were workers of iniquity. What is iniquity? It's something that you should know to do that's right to do, and yet you don't do it. What do they know to do that's right? To come where the word of God said, come to vindicate a prophet. So if you come to the Word and the vindicated prophet, that's you're doing right. And, but if you don't do it in the light of Scripture, you are iniquitous. Now, see what is going to be in the last day? Hear the whole line. That was my purpose tonight. I said to get up by 9 o'clock, but I'll be a little after. Look, that was my whole purpose, to show you this line by the Word of God, that God does keep His Word in order to stay God. Get this thing right someday. He says here, does God change His mind about His Word? How in the world could He and still be God? See? He cannot change His mind about His Word. He can allow and does allow all these things to take place, which bring in delusion, which is a trap. He allows it. There's no problem there. He allows it, absolutely. The gifts are genuine, but these people are not genuinely baptized with the Holy Ghost, because people cannot understand that gifts of the Holy Ghost do not constitute the Holy Ghost. They'll understand out here, except the universalists and the humanists, that those plants out there, and they're living plants, right, those plants are living, they're real flowers, that God made them, but that is not a part of God, and that is not God per se. That's merely a product apart from God. So are gifts of the Holy Ghost. Dead preachers right today say, well, I've got a gift. I must have the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. Must be the Holy Ghost. Hogwash. Bible says different. So what they do then, they pit one against the other. But Brother Branham tells us right here, category concerning his ministry, it is just like Moses, it's just like Paul. In the respect that God Himself is doing the interpreting, the bringing of the Word via interpretation, or whichever way you want to put it, He's bringing that Word. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change at all. God is bound by His Word. So therefore, God has definition. Anybody tell you God doesn't have definition, he's a liar. It's absolutely true. In Him is neither shadow or turning or any variability. He doesn't change. He said, if I were to change, the sons of Jacob would be destroyed. And He tells you right there, the sons of Jacob are what? They're the elected ones. There'd be nobody ever stand before God. There'd be nothing ever done. But God does not change. He doesn't change His Word. He cannot change. If there's any way God could change His Word, then God Himself would be changed. The bride would be changed. Everything would be changed. And let's put it this way. We would be in constant and continuous doubt. There would be no way that you and I could possibly stand, because we don't know where God stands. So I'm putting my faith in God. Well, what if He changed His mind tomorrow? How are you going to find what His mind is tomorrow? How are you going to get there? You can't do it. Let's stand up and pray. Be dismissed. Next service, of course, will be Saturday evening at 7 o'clock. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You again for Your mercy that You've indulged toward us in this hour, to give us the opportunity to come together to study more of what the prophet said and see these rich things that lie within the Word, that go right back to the Bible, that are all in there, Lord, particularly for this hour. Their meat in due season. In there lies strength. For our strength cometh from the Lord. And we know our strength is the power of God. The power of God is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is in the Word, which has been correctly spiritually revealed to us. So therefore, Lord, we know that in this hour we have Your power amongst us, You Yourself, Lord. And that Word given to us, releasing the same power that lies in You, which is God raising the dead, bringing a people back to originality, bringing them back to the tree of life. All these things we see here, Lord, that are our portion. May we not be deceived into losing any of it. Under no consideration, Lord, may one word be changed. Help us to change our minds, to shift gears, to begin to put everything in the proper perspective, Lord. And we thank You that You do not ever change Your mind about Your Word. And no matter what people might do about it, and You even allow them to do about it, which is certainly true, You even allow them. You Yourself never change, and will bring it out to the very last jot and tittle in every living son and daughter, and in everything concerning them, which is their relationship to You, and what You're doing in, with, for, through, or whatever. All in your divine plan. This, Lord, is so encouraging if we can just get a hold of it and see it just exactly right. That you don't change. And we have a part of that great unchangeableness, the Word itself. And therefore, how could any of it go astray? No way. Therefore, the vessel itself would not go astray. All one with you. You said this would be this at the end hour, for which we thank you it is. Now, Lord, heal the sick amongst us. Encourage those that need encouragement. Bless those that need blessing, O God. Lift up your people, Lord, in a faith that they've never known before. A faith, Lord, that absolutely zooms and screams above the wind like the eagle. That every sign of storms coming, flapping its great wings and screaming and going above every storm, no matter how high it is. We hear of airplanes flying in the eye of a hurricane. Yet we know you've risen with healing in your wings and you take us higher than the eye of every hurricane, everything that comes. Let Moab rise up. Let it come against the bride, which it does and will do, with all of its false prophets. We know, Lord, that there's nothing going to change the destiny of your people, for they will come forth shining in victory in this battle. And you, Lord, are our defense, and we're standing upon it today. We pray, therefore, Lord, your blessing upon each and every one. Go with us as we go. Little festivity, whatever they have, little shower this afternoon, may it be blessed of you, Lord, and given in the right and proper spirit, received in the same. May we come back together, Lord, and whatever we do during the week, be in the same processes, the same loving spirit of Almighty God. We cast our lot with yours today, Lord, and hold up the prophet's arms by way of the word. What else can we do? Thank God that's all we have to do. And thank God we're doing it. Unto you be the glory and the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus.